Hey, it's Kara. Welcome to Kara's Basement. Boy, this is awesome. For the second time in 6 months, it's Adam Ant. His new album is now out. Adam Ant is the Lubeck Hussar in Marrying the Gunner's Daughter. And for this edition of Kara's Basement, for the first time, a special guest is joining me. Big time fan of Adam Ant, and I would consider an expert, actually, Sandy Max. She'll join in just a little bit.
For a time I live in Tennessee, a prince he'll believe.
Hi, Adam.
Hello, Carla. How are you?
I am awesome now that I'm talking to you.
Oh, thanks very much.
I have to tell you, I saw your show at the Cubby Bear in Chicago a few months ago. It was awesome.
Oh, thanks very much. Good. Yeah, I really enjoyed that. I had a bit of a chance to, I think near the, is that where there's the sports stadium? There was a restaurant there.
Yes.
I went at a burger there, I think. It was quite good. So I remember that gig. I really enjoyed it.
So you remember the burger. Awesome. My only complaint was that you have a lot of tall fans that like to wear hats, and I'm short, so it was difficult to see you, but you sounded great.
Oh, thank you very much. I enjoyed the tour enormously. It was like 22 shows around the States, and we're just planning the second part, because I'll be coming back later in the year to do the rest and hopefully coming back, so I'm really looking forward to that.
Oh, that makes me so happy. Now, when you were here, your album hadn't yet been released. Now it's out, and it's pretty amazing. I mean, it's, you know, a long 17-year wait was really worth the wait for people. Tell me about, like, the concept of your songs. Like, are they autobiographical? Did you talk about, like, what you've been doing the last 17 years?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, there are sort of 17 tracks on the album. It's kind of like it is the most autobiographical album, and it's probably the most personal record that I've written, because I felt, you know, obviously subjects that have come up in the past, and I've had my ups and downs, and I wanted to kind of put them to music, really, if I could. And so it does have a kind of bit more of a personal feel, and I think with the industry changing so much, becoming more sort of technologically it's more of a sort of technological world now. I mean, I accept that. I'm not a dinosaur, but I've made it quite traditional by doing a double gatefold vinyl, which is probably the other end of the technological scale, because I still think it's very important to concentrate on the music and the lyrics and the traditional presentation of it. So I've done that, and I have my own label, so I'm just sort of trying to keep that going, really.
Your song Cool Zombie, until I saw the video and heard the lyrics, I didn't realize you lived in Tennessee.
Yeah, nobody did, actually. It was a period in my life which surprised me. I was getting married. I was going to get married in Las Vegas at the Elvis Chapel, and my wife, I'm sadly divorced since then, but we drove from Miami, and we were going to drive up, and I was sort of driving up through the USA, and we came across a very small town in Dayton, Tennessee, and we stopped off, and I saw a property magazine advertising a wooden A-framed house on the Vale of Tennessee. Went up, had a look at it, and I just thought, I've never seen such a beautiful view in my life, so I kind of bought it. And instead, we stayed there for a couple of years and had a very nice time there. So I thought it was I became, you know, some very good neighbours, and I used to go out and listen to a lot of country music locally, and I sort of put that sort of influence into that track called Zombie.
Yeah, there was definitely more country in that than I've ever heard you do.
I'm a big Hank Williams fan, and I my neighbour Ron, who sadly passed away, that's a song dedicated to him. I mentioned him on the album, on the track. He used to take me around to his friends' places, and I'd go over there and hear kind of he'd play the sort of country records to me. And the one thing I noticed down there that was really unusual, really struck me, was that, you know, the smaller kind of theatres. You know, you still had Johnny Cash going and playing, and Mel Haggard, some of the real big country stars still going and playing that circuit for their fans, which really impressed me greatly. I really was very impressed with the fact that these big stars are still going back to their roots and playing gigs. So it's a very beautiful country down there. It's quite spectacular, absolutely spectacular.
But you don't live there now?
I'm sorry?
You don't live there anymore?
No, I came back to London because my daughter was born. We came back to London to be with the family, so I moved back to London, and my daughter goes to school here. So I'm back in London at the moment.
There you have it. So is there a documentary in the works about making your new album? I mean, it's a big deal, you know?
Yeah, there's a documentary. Well, there's two projects on the go at the moment. The first one is a documentary that was being produced by a guy called Jamie Reynolds from the Claxons, a band called the Claxons you've probably heard of. He's produced a film with a director called Jack Bond, and they were kind of around my house here for about a year while I was getting back on the live circuit, you know, putting shows on in some of the small London clubs I played when I was starting out to get my band together and, you know, pick it up from scratch. So there's that. And the other project is actually a feature film, which is the script is being written, the screenplay now for based on my book Stand and Deliver. So we're looking for someone to play me in the film. So
maybe Robert Pattinson, that'd be good.
or James Franco, or
yeah,
I think Johnny Depp would have been good a few years ago, but I think he could probably play my younger brother now. But who knows?
I love that. Now, when I saw you, you opened up your show with plastic surgery. Someone on Twitter, who goes by Jules Madamant, wants to know if you ever had plastic surgery, on which part of your body would it be and why?
No, I've never really had that. That's a very interesting question to think about it. I think the trouble with that is once you sort of tweak up one bit, if you start on one area, then the other areas are going to look a bit kind of... they'll need it too. So you'll be in a never-ending sort of chase to make everything look even. So I think I'm just going to go with what I've got and let nature take its course, because primarily what matters is that I can write songs and sing and move about. But as long as I can move about and sing, I'm all right.
Well, I think what you've got's pretty good. So
thank you very much.
I've got my good friend Sandy here with me, who happens to be a big fan of yours, and I consider her an Adamant expert. So I wanted to give her a chance to ask you a question.
Good morning, Adam.
Okay. Hiya.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I am very, very good. I'm very pleased to speak with you, and I'm doing all I can to, you know, not be the super fan geek, but needless to say, I have followed you for several years, and I saw you got the opportunity to see you play in New York and Chicago and Milwaukee on this last tour, and it was just brilliant, because the set list had to have been a pleasure to put together, because I know it was a pleasure for a lot of us longtime fans to hear so many of those songs performed live. So cheers on you for some great, great shows.
Oh, thank you. It's very nice to get feedback, because there was quite a lot of thought went into choosing the set, and I tried to sort of incorporate, you know, not only the hit records, but with some quite... like B-sides and early stuff, and so it's really nice to hear that it did the trick.
Lovely, because for as many shows as I've seen, I don't think I've ever seen you play Beat My Guest, so that was a beautiful, beautiful treat. I splurged and went over to see your Bloomsbury show as well, and that was amazing, with David Pash on a classical guitar doing interpretations. So as you can imagine, I dove into your new album with both feet and with great anticipation. And I think it's really, really good. Because sometimes I think when you're such a fan of an artist and a performer, you're worried that you're going to like something without, you know, just kind of blindly. So I was trying to listen to it at a distance, but I think it's very diverse. There's a lot of enjoyable songs. The last two tracks, I think, are my very, very favorites.
Oh, thank you.
How Can I Miss You? And You and Bullshit, which I'm sure will get a lot of radio airplay.
Well, yeah, I'm sure. I think I always thought of this album as I always thought of it as a double vinyl album. So there was always in my mind in the construction of the album and when I'd written all the songs, putting them together, that there should be a very old-fashioned side A, silence, side B, you know, side two, side three, side four. So having done that, you know, that's the kind of thing that it is an album. It's not just a couple of hit singles with the rest. It's kind of like an album, and I think it takes a bit of getting into, but there's a kind of vague storyline there.
It's lovely, and I'd love it if I was quite excited to look in the liner notes and see the name of Marco Peroni. Can you describe how you and Marco got back to songwriting again?
Well, they were songs that we kind of written they were songs we wrote a while ago. They were kind of songs that we'd had. Sort of I updated them to put on this album. So, you know, having, you know, 17 years between albums, I had the opportunity to really take stock of some lyrics that I'd written a while ago, as well as some new songs that I'd, you know, written with, you know, people like Boz Bora at the time, you know, recently. So, you know, songs, I find that's something that I find, you know, I write lyrics every day, and I often go back to the very, very early lyrics, and there'll be one line there or one stanza there that I'll suddenly, you know, think, oh, this is great, I can make a new song out of this. So it's kind of nice to have that on there.
Are there any that you left off? Are you already brewing up a second album?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's got to be another album. I'm already sort of thinking about the next album, and I've got some ideas for that, and it'll probably be as different from that one, from the new one, as all my albums. I've tried to make every album sound different from the one before, so no idea what it will sound like, but I'll do my best.
Well, we're just anxious for you to come back and perform.
Absolutely.
Some more. And
we're planning that right now. We've got a lot of other cities that we missed last time around, and we'd like to come back and do more with some new tracks off the album as well. So we'll be back.
Love it. Are you working on any other projects? I heard a rumor about a clothing line at one point.
Yeah, well, what I was wearing on stage is all the stuff that I've actually made for my own. I've had made myself. So me and my friend Rob, we're kind of talking to people at the moment about actually manufacturing and having that in some stores, but that's a long process. But what you see on stage is all the stuff on my Blue Black Guitar at Pimpernel range. So that was it. What you're seeing me wearing is what I'll be selling eventually, hopefully.
Fun. Look forward to it. And I will turn it back over to Kara, but I just wanted to say thank you again for always being so gracious with your fans. I was able to be at the meet and greet in New York, and you were just lovely, and you take your time, and you let all of us spill our guts out to you and our admiration for 7 to 15 minutes at a time, and bring up trivial things that you probably don't ever remember from from days gone by. But it means a lot. And I mean, is there an artist that you've ever met that you went, you know, I want to model myself like that. I want to take time. Or is that just you?
Over the years, I think really the person that took my breath away was Muhammad Ali, really. He was my hero growing up. And when I had the opportunity to go to a book signing in Los Angeles, and I waited outside the shop in LA for 2 hours. And when I met him, I turned into a gibbering wreck and just poured out all the, oh, I saw you when I was a kid, my hero, blah, blah. And he was so gracious, and it was a marvelous moment. And also, that's on the sporting side, but on the music side, it would have to be Mark Bolan, who I met when I was a teenager. So I think it's very important to remember the feeling that meeting someone you like gives you when I meet people, because I imagine it's the same sort of feeling.
Yep, and you are paying it forward, as Sandy just attested to. And I think it says a lot that after 17 years, people not only remember you, but they're yearning to see you and to hear your music. So congratulations just for being you, Adam.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your time.
My pleasure.